Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February the 16th, 47th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, CEO at St. Joseph Hospital, Joseph Mark. Oh, pardon me. President slash CEO. He's wearing his name badge. President and CEO.
Good afternoon.
You just, in case you get lost, that's one of those.
Remember who I am.
Return me back to my.
Please call.
Yeah. You don't have the phone number there.
No.
You're going to have to work on that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll talk briefly about the earthquake that happened on Monday. Was there any impact to, well, hopefully we would have heard about it, but to the tower, to the old buildings, to the maternity, to the grounds, all that kind of stuff. Anytime you get the first shaker, things settle, and we'll find out if anything unanticipated settled. And we'll also then spend the remainder of the program talking about health care and the Obama provisions that were talked, I guess, what, released last week?
Yes.
Modified on Friday, not particularly to the agreement of the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities, and Catholic-run hospital organizations.
Most politely put.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we'll get rid of the plate and talk bare bones when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from L. Ron Hubbard. No one ever, I read it a couple times already. No one ever gets far unless he accomplishes the impossible at least once a day.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like the.
The impossible or getting something done each day?
Getting something impossible done each day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no kidding. So you weren't at the location that I was at Monday at 107.
I was not.
You were not. There was a whole empty area there kind of reserved for you, and the whole table was empty.
Yes, I missed my rotary obligation.
You guys must have known something was about to happen.
No, actually, I was at a Decade of Difference meeting over at the Board of Education.
Gary came in Monday night and said you were there.
And I left early.
Yeah, he said there was a little bit of a and run.
Yeah, the one day I don't take my cell phone with me out the door, you know, so I had to borrow one from one of the other folks in the meeting and call just to check in. And the great news is it didn't have anywhere near the punch that the one came through with in 2 years ago. So, in fact, the seismic reports that we got was about 10% of the punch factor of the one that, you know, was in January 2 years ago. So we've found nothing so far. And so it was just a real gentle roller and very blessed that it was.
Yeah, kind of funny, 5-6, and just, okay, yeah, wake up.
Yeah, I handled that better personally, too. I thought I'd come out of my shoes because that one 2 years ago just freaked me out. Midwest boy used to diving in basements, getting out of the way of tornadoes. But this is a whole different trip.
Yeah. Somebody told you we don't have basements and we don't go diving?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, watch and see what opens up or falls. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Don't jump in. Yeah, exactly. So, one thing that was interesting for us here with that is we had a couple of newer employees who had never experienced an earthquake. And one was, okay. And the other was deer in the headlights grabbing on minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
When you guys bring in new folks, is that part of the localization effort? Is to try to get them to sense or feel or normalize what an earthquake is if they've never experienced an earthquake?
No, it normally isn't. Actually, if they come in from, like I did, from the Midwest, it's generally on their list of questions. How often do you have them? How bad are they? Whatever. This is what we've heard. And up until 2 years ago, I could say, well, it really hasn't been a big deal. I felt a couple minor ones. But I tell them honestly, you know, the first time you take a 5 or a 6 and it's a good shaker, it gets you thinking. And the experience itself wasn't that traumatic, even with the one 2 years ago for me, other than watching asphalt ripple, which I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah, the telephone
without cracking
lines.
And riding
really?
It up
never,
in the air.
You've never seen the roads?
No, hell
oh,
no.
Okay.
I was standing over at Hellsport in Arcata, and I said, I feel a little lightheaded, Peggy. And she said, that ain't you. She said, the earth's moving. And so all these cars started popping up in the air. I'm watching this wave come across, you know, the asphalt towards me. Yeah. So I jump in the grass and ride it up and ride it down. Whoa, I guess we're not exercising today. Just think you ought to call the hospital.
Yeah, check in, yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so it shook me up quite a bit. And it bothered me, actually, for weeks after that. You know, just kind of like driving over the slough and thinking I need to get across this bridge quick in case another one comes. But it's passed. Hope not to encounter one like that again.
Yeah.
But hell, who knows?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you haven't experienced the 6.5 plus.
Yeah, right.
But that's all right. Give it time. You'll
yeah,
be there.
Oh, something to look forward to.
Well, so what is the protocol? Earthquake happens.
Yeah.
Okay, you got the new building that's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably pretty simple to look around, see if there's any cracks.
I wasn't worried about that one.
The maternity and the cardiac.
Yeah,
know, they're
yeah.
relatively new.
Yep.
Any concerns with that, or did you go straight to the older portions?
Portions first, and typically the facilities engineers, as soon as something like that happens, they're moving. And some of the construction guys, of course, that we still got on site, you know, we're checking the new building. So, yeah, you typically go to the area that's most vulnerable, which would be R50's building, because it's stack and tilt concrete block construction. So the wrong type of punch, you know, can really create some very serious damage in there.
Yeah, rather than the wave, a good
yes.
shot.
Yeah, the ones that I understand I haven't experienced yet that just come in with
the
one
jolt,
big bang,
yeah.
you know. Yeah.
The General Hospital facility,
mm-hmm.
did that have any damage?
Not this time. It did some hallway cracks and stairwell cracks, but not with this one. We haven't found anything yet on any of our buildings.
And Redwood Up was okay as well.
It was fine, yeah.
What you do about nothing then, huh?
Yeah. It must be unusual. This one came, I understand, from Hoopa Inland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then we had,
is that unusual? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't recall. Boy, I, you know, somebody will call up and tell me how stupid I am or forgetful, but I can't recall anything on shore other than Ferndale, you know, the main San Andreas line, but
mm-hmm.
most all of it is has been offshore, very few
yeah.
epicenters. Well, there may have been one in Eureka, a 5.3 a couple of years ago, 5.3, 5.4, that popped some windows and stuff, but nothing in the hills.
Mm.
It's going the wrong direction, man.
Yeah, really.
Everything's going east. It's not supposed to come west. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:22. We'll be back with more from Joe Mark.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:26. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Midwestern boy, Joe Mark. Yeah, once you start getting a little green around the gills, then you start to kind of be a humbler.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not there yet.
I was green 2 years ago.
No. This is moss.
Oh, I see.
You mean it's
eating moldy.
Something funny.
Moldy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez. We've only got about 3 or 4 minutes before the news break at the bottom of the hour. Let's kind of define the playing field here with what the president's medical program is as it is today with the adjustments that he was trying to suggest would mollify the Catholic primarily, but other entities also who might have
on the birth control stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and the morning after pill, yeah. and the. From your understanding, not as a Catholic employer or a Catholic business, but just as a healthcare provider, what's being said?
Well, what was being proposed was that all providers, including Catholic providers, would be obligated to make sure in their benefit plans to their employees that contraceptives were included. That posed two problems for the Catholic Health Association of the United States and all hospitals that are sponsored as Catholic hospitals, in that it's not in current plans. And as a self-insured employer, that was the way that Obama tended to placate the Catholic hospitals, the bishops, et cetera, that came forward, was to say, well, you don't have to provide it for your employees. We'll just make your insurance company provide that as a covered benefit in their plans. Well, which is great unless you're self-insured like we are, because you're a Catholic self-insurance company insuring employees working for a Catholic organization. So that piece still isn't resolved yet. I think ultimately it will be based on the conscience clause that we're protected under. But it would cause a real problem if they were to really take a hard line federally with that. It would really force some very difficult dialogue about being able to continue those hospitals under a Catholic sponsorship flag, because we don't believe the U.S. Catholic bishops would uniformly embrace that as a good thing.
No, I can't see the bishops all kumbayaing around that.
No, one. Not going to happen.
Or appealing to the Vatican.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Let's go to the Pope and see what he has to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Probably not going to happen too much. What percentage, Joe, of healthcare that's provided in California or national are done by Catholic, Catholic run, Catholic owned?
It's held pretty much over the last 10 years. I'd say it's between 25% and 28% of the beds in the country are sponsored by Catholic health organizations. So, I mean, it would really create a very interesting challenge when you take on a big market presence like that nationally. I think they'll work it out. I think the compromise will end up being that as a Catholic-sponsored entity, the conscience clause will prevail over any insurance requirements. And I think even if it gets pushed by the administration, it'll fail in the courts on appeal.
What percentage of your employees are Catholic?
That's a good question. I don't know, honestly.
I don't know if you can ask that either.
I don't think we do, but I'm not sure. It's a good question.
In the discussions a little bit with some of buddies after Mass, as well as in the interceding period, it seems curious to me that if you weren't Catholic, why would you want to work for a Catholic-run facility?
Unless you've got an objection about something, that conflicts with your value system, why not?
Most
Catholic hospitals in the country, and I've worked in a bunch of them over the course of my career, and from what I know of talking to colleagues, most employees working in Catholic hospitals are non-Catholic, with rare exception.
It just doesn't enter
very rare exception. Like you get into the deep south, like into the Louisiana parishes, where there's traditionally just a huge percentage of the population's Catholic, that's different. But if you take your typical state, city, urban, rural area, it's a real mixed bag.
Do they understand?
The ethical and religious directives? Oh, yeah.
Well, or when an edict comes down from the bishop or the archbishop, boom, okay, we're changing protocol. Do they get it? Do they abide by it? Is there pushback on it? Because this is something that...
There's always challenges, particularly when it comes to sterilization, which wasn't part of this particular bill, but... It used to be far more liberal across the country when a woman having an elective cesarean section could have a tubal ligation, and it could be for health of the mother. Any more kids could cause her, future damage, that type of thing. It could be psychological reasons, got plenty of kids, whatever. That's all tightened up, particularly in this diocese.
It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark, President and CEO at St. Joe's. Joe, as you look at the healthcare picture, we got the political stuff that's going on, we got California stuff that's going on, and then you've got the overriding with the sisters as well as the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I might have done that in incorrect order. The bishop and then the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a theologian do you have to be to run a Catholic hospital?
You don't. You need to have a clear understanding of the ethical and religious directives. There's a neat little booklet that's been published and updated over the years. It basically spells out practices that are acceptable and unacceptable. And, you know, you're naturally expected as a CEO to adhere to those and make sure your medical staff's complying with it and your benefit plans reflect them. But, no, you don't have to be a theologian. You just need to understand the do's and the don'ts.
How much, there are folks in the close to the bishop that deal with various ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare certainly is one of those ministries, or, you know, helping the poor. Do you have a lot of interaction with that individual, or is that a sounding board? If you have a question, you call up the bishop's office, and that's who you
talk to. It would be the latter, or there might be a complaint somebody in the diocese raises about a particular practice in an organization. I've had a call from Bishop Walsh in the past. He had a question that was raised by somebody locally here, and it was nice. I mean, we were able to talk directly. I answered his question to his satisfaction, and wasn't called to make an appearance in Santa Rosa, which I really appreciated. But yeah, no, not normally. There isn't that kind of regular interface. It's more exceptions, you know, when a problem comes up.
Is that true for a lot of the hospitals or just St. Joe's?
I would say as a standard, most dioceses, that would be the relationship with the bishop's office.
You said 28% of American hospital beds,
roughly, yeah,
are controlled, owned, operated by
a Catholic-sponsored enterprise, generally a congregation or a health system like the Sisters of St. Joe Health System.
Is that percentage the same in California?
Good question. I think it's closer to 25% here.
So if
there's more academic medical centers, there's more, you know, other.
Yeah, the teaching hospitals.
Yeah.
How much federal influence is there in medical care at the hospital? Is it just the reimbursement stuff, or
oh, tons?
I mean, is there a tension between the church and the government about?
No. The feds tend to stick to regulatory compliance and reimbursement issues. Those are their two big sticks. And potentially, if there's any anti-competitive behavior going on, you have to deal with the FTC. Those would be the three arms, and then the other arm would be compliance with Stark laws, making sure that we're not unduly influencing where physicians park their patients.
So, sorry, you said park patients. I'm thinking, oh, no, that's the cemetery's business.
Ones that are still breathing.
Yeah, probably not the best first reaction I could have had, huh?
Right.
Has there been anything in the recent past with the government trying to mandate or dictate some of the services that the hospitals offer that have run, whether run afoul, run against, mm-hmm. run into, whatever mm-hmm. phrase you want with the church?
No, they've typically honored the conscience clauses. That's why this particular action by the Obama administration was kind of a surprise. It's a very rare thing to have to encounter that from something coming out of Washington particularly. No, it's very unusual.
What is the conscience clause?
That basically if you have a religiously based belief that runs counter to, well, say the Obama's you know, last platform to mandate contraception as a given benefit, and you're requiring that for your employees. As a Catholic employer, you can exercise your conscience rights to say no. As a Catholic-sponsored organization, we would not have to comply with that federal law.
So what happens for those employees who might have interest, who are non-Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Is that just something that they don't get as part of the terms of their employment?
They'd have to purchase it themselves, right?
So there are avenues and options for folks.
Sure. It'll be more expensive for them, but yeah, they can go out on their own.
Do you buy the argument that the insurance companies are just going to provide this?
Nothing's ever free coming from an insurance company. No, they'll take the hit, and then they'll package, you know, how they're going to get their return through other means. Less, you know, payments to providers, sticking employers with larger premiums.
It sounds like you're pretty sympathetic there.
No.
Let me
predict what's going to happen. I'll give you a crystal ball projection. I'll have to come back and check it.
Let's hold that after the break then.
Okay.
All right. We'll have it separate, have it clean. You can then save it on your computer, and you can listen to it down the road to see how accurate you are.
I'll do that.
I might also. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:40. We'll be back with predictions from Joe Mark.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark, I guess, party host.
Yes, in about 45 minutes, we'll be having the members of the Eureka Chamber of Commerce coming for their business mixer, and we'll have hors d'oeuvres and show them what a beautiful new community asset we have.
Good. I'll meet you in the cafeteria in about 2 weeks, and we'll talk.
Okie doke.
Before the break, Joe, you were talking a little bit about predictions.
Yeah.
What did you think that the new plan would end up being, either as a standalone, a change from the administration, or some kind of an agreement? I can't imagine, and then I'll let you talk, that the church or the bishops are really that inclined to negotiate basic tenets of Catholicism.
No, but each bishop in every diocese has discretion in terms. And let me use an example on the sterilization at time of elective C-section. If you're in a remote area and it's a hardship for women to have their tubes tied at the time of their section, so they only have one anesthesia risk, and you can make a case that to have people leave Humboldt County, for example, for that service, the church, the bishop, could exercise what's known as the mercy clause. Normally, we wouldn't allow it, but given what women are going to have to go through and the hardship, a bishop could say, okay. That's not going to happen in this diocese.
So your prediction on what the outcome of this is, where there are some canon-based bishops,
mm-hmm.
and there are those who take a little bit more lenient interpretation of the church's position, you're going to have the full gamut throughout the country.
Throughout the county. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What do you think this is going to end up with nationally?
I think each bishop will continue to have their own prerogative. And I think the Catholic hospitals that are still got the canonical direct line to Rome will have to abide by the bishops. My prediction that I talked about before the break was more a financial prediction in terms of what I see coming factually and the end game for the insurance companies. I believe 10 years from now, and I'll be shocked if I miss this one, is that the insurance companies are going to be short-term greedy, and long-term they're going to drive themselves right out of the business, and we're going to be driven right into a single-payer plan. Here's why. They're tickled to death. They're going to be competing with these for the state health exchange, a new $31 million that are coming into the system soon. They're going to not only negotiate Medicaid, Medicare-type rates to get that business, but they've also put hospitals on notice. Don't ask for increases, look for decreases in your next contract cycle. And they've talked to some hospitals in California already about 40% reductions in their current rates of payment to the hospitals. So they're basically into the profit grab bag to say we're getting 31 more million covered lives. We're going to make money on that bunch on the margin. We're going to make it by paying the hospitals less. And then we're going to lower what we've paid as a PPO or an HMO to the providers, doctors and hospitals, because you got 31 more million people you're getting something on, so we don't have to subsidize you to the extent we were in the past. They forget that the ones that they were subsidizing don't come close to covering our costs today, so having 31 more million of them isn't going to help the provider community at all. So the end game that I think we're moving towards is population management. That we'll have, say, a three-county area here, or maybe four or five if we link up with the folks in Sonoma and Napa, Mendocino, and we'll be responsible to cover the entire healthcare needs of that population, say that half million people or so. Everything comes out of that: doctor fees, hospital fees, nursing home fees, rehab fees, and there'll be one big, huge pot of dough, probably financed by a single-payer system to, say, manage it. If you manage it efficiently, you keep a percentage of what you get. And if you don't, you take the risk consequences with that. I think that's the ultimate end game. What's going to happen to the insurance companies in this, as they continue their greed, and I'll let my bias come through clearly, they're going to do very well over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. They're going to fatten their coffers. Their stockholders are going to be getting a lot of dividends. And it's going to become so broken on the provider side that people are going to be screaming in terms of rationing decisions. I can't get my doctor to take me because I've got this plan and they can't afford to work any harder for less. And the cracks are going to be so bad. People are going to be screaming for the end of that plan and hello, single-payer system. And I think it's inevitable.
So if there's a turnover in the administration,
mm-hmm,
and the current medical plan is pulled off the table.
Yeah.
Does that significantly change anything?
No,
or
I really don't think so.
Flavor.
It'll change some of the requirements that were in the new law, but the same pressure to bend the Medicare national spending curve because it's not sustainable as a percentage of GDP is still going to be there. We're spending way too much per capita and way too much on end-of-life care. If you look at the last 6 weeks of life, we're spending probably two-thirds of our national health care expenditures on that. And you look at the chronic illness and conditions in this country, people not taking care of themselves kind of stuff, drinking issues, obesity, you name it, you probably pick up, you know, another 20 or 30%, and the rest is kind of like trauma from accidents and whatever.
Or maternity.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's plenty of money in the system. That's the bottom line. But there's a huge sucking sound out of the middle of the system that's called for-profit insurance companies that are taking anywhere from 10 to 20 plus percent for administrative fees and their profits out of the middle of that before any provider gets paid. And with the downward squeeze on prices and employers screaming about how much they've got, that's why I think this is going to be the scenario.
We got it on tape. We'll find out if you're right.
Right on.
We'll probably see you in about 10 years and find out if you are or not. Thanks for coming by, Joe.
Hey, pleasure.
We've been talking shop with Joe Mark. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out, make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.